So appreciative of the way the Holy Spirit has moved in both of these services. Only He knows what's going on in the depths of the soul, and He's been addressing that all day. He has. Amen. Some are going to have to find out, but what would your week have been like without these services today? Amen. I'd like you to turn with me tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. As we begin to read this, it sounds familiar, like you've just heard it, you have. Brother Brian preached from this Wednesday night, did a great job. And this is not a follow-up on his message. Let me tell you what happened every Wednesday night. We meet before church, and Brother Brian came in, and as sometimes we do, he shared a little bit about what he'd be preaching about Wednesday night, and he began to read this verse, quote this verse, and I started smiling. He said, "What are you smiling about?" I said, "Well, I just came from the prayer room writing down some things about this verse for Sunday night." So this isn't choreographed or any coordinated or anything. It's just I believe the Lord wants to talk to us from this verse. So here we are again on a Sunday evening. That was a great message if you weren't here. Great exposition. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let's just read it together. It's got that first person plural pronoun we, so that we could do that real well. Let's read it together. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Even though the word is not in here tonight, I want to entitle this, Becoming. This is in the daily series, but Becoming. It says, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. To glory. That sounds like becoming to me, doesn't it, you? I said, we are changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Changed into what? Into the same image. You can go ahead and be seated tonight. I don't want to be redundant, but just let me briefly share with you. Moses' face began to shine with the glory of God for two reasons Scripture gives us. First of all, Moses said, "Lord, if you don't go, I don't want to go. Show me your glory." God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and covered it with his hand. And he said, "As I pass by, you can't see my face, but as I pass by, I'll let you see me as I'm departing." Moses' face shone because he saw the glory of God. But did you know, even beyond that, Scripture tells us why his face was shining? It's very clear in Exodus 34. It said, because Moses talked with God. What about this praying every day? I said, what about this praying? Because Moses talked with God, his face shone. And he came down the mountain with those Ten Commandments. Began to talk with Aaron and the leaders, and they're noticing it. No doubt trying, their eyes are being blinded with the sight of it. Moses, there's a problem here. You're going to talk to the people. You're going to go out amongst the people. But when people look at you, your face is shining with the glory. You know, how did that happen? I mean, in that time of prayer and seeing, I think two things happened. He just kind of absorbed. Oh, hallelujah. He kind of absorbed the glory of God. And not only that, he was actually just reflecting the glory of God. And it was blinding the eyes of the people. And so to solve that, Moses put a veil over his face. And so the Scripture says, first of all, the people didn't see the glory that was on Moses' face because Moses wore a veil. And that spoke to another thing. The people could not see the glory of God that was within their camp because there was a veil in that tabernacle and later the temple, a veil that kept the people from seeing the glory of God. So two veils so far. They couldn't see the glory on Moses' face because he had a veil. They couldn't see the glory in the tabernacle because there was a veil. But Paul goes to say there was a much more drastic veil. It wasn't the veil on Moses' face that kept them from seeing the glory. It wasn't the veil in the tabernacle. He said each unbeliever. Each one that does not believe the gospel, each one who does not obey the gospel has a veil on their heart. You see, God took care of that veil in the tabernacle. As Brother Brian preached Wednesday night, he divided that asunder that says you can go in now. Amen. But I want you to know, there was still, Paul said, a veil on people's heart. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. How many would like every veil that's on your heart to come off so you could see the glory of God? You say, what is that veil? That veil is anything that keeps you from seeing God, believing God, trusting God, reaching out to God, having experience with God, encountering God. Anything that's in the way is a veil. It's got to come off. Amen. That veil. Amen. And I'm going to come to this later. But I want you to know right now, as we're telling the story, that when Moses went to talk to the people, he put the veil on. But it said every time he went back to talk with God, he took the veil off. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, when you come to talk to God, it's time to take the veil off. Take the facade off. Amen. Just take it off. Just come be in the presence of God. And we'll return to that in a moment when we close. Amen. But I want to tell you, when we look into the Bible, we look into the gospel. Let's revisit this scripture and see what Paul is saying. Amen. If you could put the scripture back, and I'll have Brother Brian help me here. But it says, we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass, we would use the word mirror today, beholding is in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of our God. I want you to think of that as I try to explain what Paul is saying. Amen. This is the mirror. Could you come stand right here, Brother Brian? This is the mirror right here. Amen. And back then, the mirrors weren't of glass. They were of highly polished bronze. Here is the mirror. Here am I, a believer. I've come to the Word of God with the veil of unbelief off my heart. I've come to the New Testament, as it says in this chapter. I've come to the gospel. And if I will come, listen to me, if I will come to the Word of God and the gospel with the veil off my heart, when I begin to look into the Word of God, it becomes a mirror. And you know what I see in the mirror? I see, this is going to be Jesus for us right now, right here. When I look in the mirror, I see Jesus. He's the ultimate glory of God, the Son of God, the Holy One, the Lamb of God. And here I am as a believer, the veil's off my heart, and I am looking in the mirror, and I see the glory of Jesus reflected from the Word. Oh, I'm telling you, that'll happen. Stay right there if you would. If you begin to look with unveiled heart into this Word of God, you begin to look with unveiled heart at the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to see the glory of Jesus. But Paul said, not only as you look into the mirror, do you see this reflection, this glory of Jesus? Not only do you see Him, that image, but that image is being reflected off the mirror upon your unveiled heart. Oh, I'm seeing the glory of God. This is what Paul said. I'm seeing it right here. I'm seeing the glory, but it's reflecting from the Word of God upon my own heart. And if I keep looking with unveiled heart, not only do I see that glory, not only does it reflect upon my heart and life and mind, but I begin to take on the image of Jesus that I'm seeing in His Word. Oh, don't you want that experience? Come to His Word with unveiled heart. You see His glory, and the glory that's reflected begins to change you, and you begin to become into His image. Thank you, Brother Brian. Amen. That's what Paul was saying by this verse. The experience of seeing God with unveiled heart changes us successfully, one change after the other. Amen. And through all of this, it's the Spirit of the Lord that's doing the work. Hallelujah. We're seeing Christ, but the Spirit is at work changing us into His image. I want to preach tonight that we are becoming something. Even if you're born again, if you're saved, you are becoming something. And it's God's will that every believer that has been saved take the veil off and become in the image and the likeness and the character of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We don't always see that happening. several trips back when my dad was still in his 70s, so within the last 10 years, he put up a picture he had found somewhere and blown up and put it on the wall in his office. And this little boy in overalls and his pant legs are rolled up and several other people there. And I walked in one day and I said, "Dad, who's that?" And he said, "Well, that's me when I was a boy, about 5 years old." Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but I didn't know my dad when he was a boy. And I looked at that picture and I studied that picture. And I looked at that picture and I studied the picture. I said, "Dad, that ain't you." He said, "It is me." I couldn't see the resemblance. From that five-year-old kid to that upper 70s fella, I could not see how that boy had become that man. And he said, "Yeah, look at it." He said, "It's got to be me. Look how good looking that boy is." How'd that happen? I'm not speaking in disrespect at all. This is just real. How did that happen? How did that boy, five-year-old boy, become that upper 70s and now 84-year-old father of mine? How did that happen? I want to tell you, it didn't happen like that. It wasn't an immediate thing. It happened. Here we go. Day by day. Day by day. From that five-year-old boy to the 85-year-old man. You see, sometimes we're looking for an immediate thing. We're looking for this thing that happens at the snap of the fingers. But I'm going to tell you how it happens. It happens daily. Yes, sir. How do you get from here, new believer? How do you get from here with problems and things wrong with thinking and things wrong with feeling and things wrong with the way you choose? How do you get from there to the person of God who knows God and walks with God and takes on the image of Christ? I'll tell you how you do it. Thank God for the big service. Thank God for that burst of the Spirit we have. But I want to tell you, you know how it happens? You know how that change happens? It happens day by day by day by day. Hallelujah. You see, what I'm talking about is not just an outward change. I'm not just talking about what we physically become, or young people, what you become career-wise. I'm talking about what we are becoming inwardly. You know, we often ask the question of young people, "What are you going to be?" You ever had that asked? I used to like to get little kids and really confuse them. And I'd ask them, I'd say, "What are you going to be when I grow up?" And they just look at me like some of you are looking at me and say, "You already grew up, you know." But you notice how we ask young people, what are you going to be? What are you going to be? I want to tell you, this is a question that's not reserved just for the youth. I don't think the question ought to be spiritually, "What are you going to be?" I think the question is right now tonight, what are you becoming? What are you becoming? What are you becoming? Amen. Change from glory to glory. Amen. You know, this is a tremendous, and I'm paraphrasing, but somewhere I read Dallas Willard said, he said, you know, we got this all backwards. We think that we are a physical being that sometimes has spiritual experiences. He says, no, that's not true. We're not a physical being that has spiritual experiences. We are a spiritual being that has physical experiences. What are we becoming? What are we becoming? You know, and let me make this point tonight. Whether we change or not, whether we become something or not, is simply not a choice. Did you know that? Whether we change or not, whether we become something or not, is not a choice. I want to tell you why. Because everybody here tonight is becoming something. You cannot choose whether or not you're going to become something. Hear me. We only get to choose what we're going to become. Right? I can't choose. Every person here, I could call you by name. You are becoming something tonight. You're in the process. I'm not talking about age now, but from the five-year-old to the 85, you are in the process of becoming something. I'm speaking in terms of character. I'm speaking in terms of morality. I'm speaking in terms of spirituality. Every one of us is becoming, in the process of becoming something tonight. We have no choice. We are becoming. Our choice is, what are we going to become? How many wants to become like Jesus? Be what he wants you to be. Increasingly more spiritual. Increasingly with more integrity and character. Amen. Our choice ought to be that we want to be like him. Tonight, everybody in this room is becoming more godly or less godly. Do you know that? No matter our age. Everyone here tonight is becoming more kind or more critical. Everyone in the place tonight is becoming more grateful or more complaining. Everyone tonight, don't you wish you'd shouted a while ago? Everybody here tonight is becoming more faithful or more unfaithful. Everyone here tonight is growing closer to Jesus or further away. Everyone tonight is becoming more like Jesus or more like their carnal self. Amen. We are in the process of becoming. Now, here is kind of a frightening thing. Did you know we ultimately become outwardly what we first became inwardly? We ultimately become outwardly what we first became inwardly. I don't want to bring unpleasant images to our mind, but I am thinking of some men who turned out to be serial rapists and murderers. And I've often looked at their picture, the evil on their face, and thought to myself, at one time, they were a little innocent baby, nothing but innocence. And look what they became. But I want to tell you, before they became that outwardly that you see in the paper, the evil and the lines etched by sin, they first became that inwardly. Tonight, everyone in the building is becoming something inwardly, and ultimately, they become that thing outwardly. I'm not going to preach this message tonight, but within the confines of the church, when someone is always insisting, it's not about the outward, it's not about the outward, it's not, something in that individual is wrong inwardly. Because there's something about, we realize when we read this book, that we are becoming outwardly what we are inwardly. Oh, I want to become like Jesus. I've made the statement. Let me say it again. Amen. We don't become in the big event and the single moments. We become incrementally, day by day. To think you're going to become what all you should be spiritually. Let me try to say that again. To think you're going to become everything you should be spiritually overnight is like me being 50 pounds overweight and think that I'm going to wake up skinny. Right? To think that I'm going to be everything that ought to be spiritually in one major service is to think that I'm going to go to bed, haven't walked more than a block in 20 years, and I'm going to get up and run the 5K. It ain't going to happen. If I'm ready for the 5K, it's because I've been doing some things daily, 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 daily. If I lose the 50 pounds I need to lose since I was Buddha tonight, some of you missed that. Was that tonight or this morning? It was this night, wasn't it? It ain't going to happen overnight. It's going to be some things that I do daily. We're changed from glory to glory. Thank God for the moment of glory tonight. Can you say amen? But it's not just tonight. It's what I do in the morning when I get up. Do I walk with God tomorrow? Amen. We are becoming incrementally what we're becoming through what we do, what we think, what we choose. We go from glory to glory. We go from day to day. We go from Bible reading to Bible reading. We go from prayer time to prayer time. We go from church service to church service. It's not just one church service. It's the countless hundreds of church services, one after the other, the consistency. It's not just praying one time. It's praying again and again and again. It's not reading the Bible once. It's reading the Bible over and over and over again. Amen. From glory to glory, we are becoming in the image of his Son. Now, I'm not saying that we cannot make big changes that change our lives forever in a moment. I've often, when I used to be asked to preach youth camps and stuff, I let them know you can make a big mess to young people. You can make a big mess of your life in a big hurry. Just one decision can change everything. You can choose to drink, choose to take that drug, and in a moment you can become an addict. You can become hooked to that stuff. Amen. In one moment you can choose to lose purity, and forever your life has changed. I'm not saying you can't make choices that change everything overnight, but I want to tell you, you incrementally became the person that made that choice. Amen. You incrementally became the person. Oh, make the right choice. I said, make the right choice by becoming like Him day after day, beholding the glory of the Lord. Let's look at the verse again, if you could put it up there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, well, this is another verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I know in most cases, that born again experience is a moment thing. It's a moment thing. Amen. You become a new creation. I'm not going to bore you, but I kind of got excited about it, because in the grammar, when it said the old things are passed away, it used a tense that means it's over with once and for all. The past is over with. I'm telling you, that's the grace of God. You can come in here with the past a mile long, every type of evil and wrong and sin and guilt and condemnation, and you can meet the Lord, and at that one meeting, immediately the past is over with once and for all. It's written into the very tense of the verb. But when you get to all things are become new, it's another tense. It means there was a moment when everything became new, but things just keep on getting more new and more new. It's like taking a rock and throwing it in a pond. The splashes been made, but now those ever-increasing concentric circles keep expanding until the one splash on the in the middle of the pond has spread over the whole pond. I'm telling you, when you got saved, yes, there was a splash. Even the old's over with, you became new, but that new began to work its way out through all of your life, all of your thinking, all of your feeling, all of your doing, all of your choices, entertainment, and every area. Amen. You became new. And what you became, you are now becoming. Does that make much sense? It makes a lot of sense. I want to tell you, you can take a 20-year-old bride, and in that moment, she says, I do. She becomes a wife. She is a wife. Am I still coming through? It's just loose. She became a wife. And I don't mean to be whatever, disillusioning or whatever. She might have became a wife, but there's a lot of things she's going to be learning as a wife. A lot of things about cooking. Isn't that exciting? Washing and changing diapers and keeping an old grouchy husband happy. And I'm not suggesting it, but you can go down and join the military tomorrow, and the moment they swear you in, you're a soldier. You don't know how to carry your rifle. You don't know how to do a maneuver. You can't do all the push-ups, but you're a soldier. Then they put you in boot camp, and you start becoming. Right? You begin to become what you are. We are new creation. I said, when we get saved, we're a new creation. We have become new. And then he gets down to the business of our becoming what we've become. Is it making sense? I'm trying. Is it making sense? We begin to become what we have become. Thank God and the Lamb forevermore. How is it that it happens? Amen. It's the more we get into the Word, the more the Word gets into us. The more we get into prayer, the more praying gets into us. Amen. The more we see God, the more of God is seen in us. From glory to glory into the image of His Son. How does that work? 3:18 again, if you could put it up there. How does that work? Amen. Both with Moses in a physical sense, they saw the glory. And with us in a spiritual sense, it was the exposure to the glory of God while beholding Him in the Word that wrought the change, that brought brought the shine that made the difference. I said it was an exposure to Him, to the glory of God. Amen. I've already preached several times, and not for redundancy's sake. Amen. But some things are going to have to happen. Number one, they beheld. It says, with open face, beholding. You know what that tells me? I am becoming what I focus on. I am becoming what I've got my eyes set on. Amen. Beholding the glory of the Lord, I'm changed into that glory. I am becoming what I'm focused on. Amen. Don't you want to be focused on God? Don't you want to be focused on His Word? Don't you want to be focused on pure things? I'll tell you one thing. You put your focus on that world, you'll become like that world. You put your focus on carnal things, you'll become carnal. You put your focus on the fearful, on the dark, you'll become fearful. You'll become dark. But oh, if you put your focus on Jesus, you'll become like Jesus. Amen. I want to become like Him. And then again, though, this is what I started to say. Maybe it seems redundant, but I think we ought to go over this again. Not only must you behold the Lord, but you must do it with an unveiled face and heart. Nothing between your soul and God. If anything gets in the way. And by the way, I'm not trying to preach rough or anything tonight, but we know from Scripture that the main thing that gets between us and our seeing God is sin. Your sins have separated between you and God. Sin will keep you from seeing what's in this Word. Sin will keep you from seeing the glory of God. Oh, take the veil off. If you want to see Him, get the veil off. The veil of unbelief. Whatever it might be. It might be bitterness. It might be a habit. It might be an attitude. Amen. But if we're going to be changed, if we're going to become what He is, we're going to have to do it with an unveiled heart. Amen. Just two verses earlier in that, and Brother Mike doesn't even have it, but in verse 16, if you got your Bibles open, it says, nevertheless, when that heart that is veiled, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Oh, I like that. He said, if I've got unbelief, I've got a veil. If I got disobedience, I got a veil. But if my heart will turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken off. Oh, I don't see what you're talking about. I don't see what's the big deal. I don't see this thing about serving God. Oh, turn to the Lord. He'll take the veil off and you'll see His glory, and seeing His glory, you'll become like Him. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see Him, don't you? Amen. Would you come, music? Would you bear with me if I try to download a story? I don't recommend this writer nor his writings, but he wrote one story that's got a tremendous message. I'll tell it in brief. It's about the portrait of Dorian Gray. Dorian Gray was an aristocratic gentleman, young man, one of the most beautiful, handsome men that ever lived. People marveled at the beauty of his face. Long story short, famous artists painted his portrait. Dorian Gray made a pact with the enemy of our souls. He sold his soul for this. He said, I want to live wickedly and sensually. He was a hedonist. I want to do whatever my flesh wants to do and sin. But instead of the effects coming up on my body, I want them to come upon my portrait. He began to live wickedly and in sin, and all the time of sin. He's also aging. But everybody looked at him. He looked as handsome as he always had looked. There wasn't a line on his face. You could see no effects of guilt, no effects of the sin, the awful things that he did. None of that. But he began to notice that on his portrait that was hanging there, the lines and the ugliness and the sin began to mar that portrait. And so he took it up in the upper stories of that large house and he hid it out of sight. He continued his life, lived so corrupt and so degraded. And all the time, he looked fine. He looked handsome. He had a countenance. But all the time, in that upper room, that portrait was growing more and more grotesque and ugly. And I don't remember, it's not important how one day he and another person was there. Maybe it was the original artist. I can't download that right now. The priest. And they found the portrait. It was the most hideous thing you had ever seen. It is on the portrait is what he had become on the inside. It was so ugly that Dorian Gray took his dagger and stabbed at the portrait to slash it and tear it up. But there was a funk and a scream. And when they got there, the dagger wasn't in the portrait. The dagger was in the man, and the portrait was the most beautiful, handsome man ever. And the man on the floor had all the effects of sin. That sounds like fantasy. But if folks would look around and see what sin and ugliness of the life of this world has done to so many folks, it not only shows on the inside, it shows on the outside. It's a vicious thing. I want to tell you, the wonderful news is you don't have to become that. You can become like Jesus. You can become spiritual. You can become moral. And I want to tell you, the person that has served God the longest tonight, they're still becoming and becoming and becoming. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you one other thing. I'm having trouble downloading things, so I always love to be accurate. So if I'm not exactly accurate, you can straighten me out later. But I recently read about a study they did. And they did this study that if any couple at random just pick this guy, 20-year-old from here, and pick this 20-year-old girl from here, they don't even know each other, put them together for about 4 or 5 hours, if they'll go through these 36 steps, they'll fall in love. I'm not going to tell you what those 36 steps are, young people. You don't need to know about that falling in love stuff. By the way, Christians don't fall in love. They find somebody spiritually and soulishly compatible, and they commit to love. Isn't that more romantic? Oh, you like the version where you catch love like the measles, I guess. I digressed somewhere in there, didn't I? What was I talking about? Oh, the study, 36 things you can do guaranteed to fall in love. Well, this one young lady that wrote the story, she said, I decided to try it. And she said, I cheated a little bit. I'd ran into this guy a few times at college. But I told him about it. And he said, why don't we try it tonight? It's a series of questions and different things. And they were there at the restaurant, whatever, and they went through all of that. Well, they got to one of the last things to do, and it was to stare into each other's eyes. It's kind of awkward with a stranger, isn't it? But stare in each other's eyes for 4 minutes without saying a word. And I know you're wondering why in the world I'm telling you this. You're going to find out. She said they went out and they went to a bridge. And she said they took that challenge. They just started. Everybody look right at me. Don't nobody take the challenge. Look right at me. No, wait, don't look at me. No, I mean. Everybody look up. I'm about to lose this illustration. It's tremendous. And she said for about 4 minutes we did this. And she said something strange began to happen. By the way, the end of the story is they did get together. But I told that whole illustration, muddled my way through it to tell you what she said she discovered. She said the most powerful thing about the moment is I wasn't just seeing somebody, but I was seeing somebody seeing me. I wasn't just seeing somebody. I was seeing somebody seeing me. I want to tell you, that's what happens when you really get away with God and begin to look for His glory. Not only will you see Him, but you'll begin to realize not only are you seeing Him, but you are seeing Him seeing you. and it'll make a difference. One more time, Brother Brian. You all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed from image to image. Here's the image, Jesus. His glory is being reflected. But as I look at him, you know what I'm discovering about his eyes? He's looking at me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. He not only knows the worst about us, but he loves us the most, somebody said. Hallelujah. Could you stand? Hallelujah. Let's reach out to him right now. Could we do it? Could we begin to praise him? Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. I want to be like Jesus. I want to become like him. I want to become like him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm not preaching a revival. I'm just trying to help us tonight, but I want to ask you one more time. What are you becoming? Think about it. Would everyone do that with me all over the building? Would you think to yourself, this is just between you and the Lord. Just be real honest with yourself. What am I becoming? What am I in the process of becoming? What am I becoming? Hallelujah. And I know it is, but if it's your heart's desire to become like Jesus, would you come begin to fill these altars and say, Lord, I want to be like you. Amen. Amen. We used to sing, change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. I don't want to stay the same. Change me, Lord. I want to be like you. Hallelujah. What am I becoming? Who am I becoming? I want to become like Jesus. Would you look upon his glory tonight? Hallelujah. Church, if you'd hear me one more time, take the veil off when you come to pray. Take the veil off when you come to pray. Take the veil off your heart. Look to God. Look to God. Look to God.